Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, March 21st, 2022. Coming up this hour,
a Boeing jet with more than 130 people on board reportedly crashes in China.
Ukraine rejects Russia's latest demands as the war nears the end of its first month.
President Biden hosts a call with European leaders to discuss the war.
And oil surges for a third day with no end to the war in sight.
Confirmation hearings begin today for President Biden's Supreme Court nominee, plus Justice Clarence Thomas is hospitalized. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. The NCAA tournament field trimmed to 16. A win for the Rangers, losses for the Islanders and Knicks.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. Daybreak being brought to you by Interactive Brokers' simple IBKR Global Trader app. Deposit in your local currency and trade stocks in the U.S., Europe, and Asia. Start your free trial at IBKR.com/globaltrader.
The futures are lower to start the week at 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 5 points. Dow futures down 101. NASDAQ futures are lower by 44 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 9/32. The yield, 2.18%. John.
Nathan, we'll have more on the markets in a minute, but first we have breaking news out of Asia. There are reports of a commercial plane crash in China. And Bloomberg's Michael Barr joins us live with the very latest. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, John. Chinese media report a Boeing 737NG carrying 132 passengers has crashed in southwest China. Radar tracking from Flight Radar 24 shows that China Eastern Airlines flight took a steep descent as it was headed toward the province of Guangzhou. The New York Times says local officials saw flames and smoke rising from a hillside in the area. Chinese state television says a rescue team has assembled and is approaching the site. So far, China Eastern and Boeing have not been available for comment. In New York, Michael Barr, Bloomberg Daybreak. John?
Thanks, Michael. Shares of Boeing down almost 7% in early trading following that reported crash. We'll bring you the latest details all morning right here on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, in the meantime, John, we shift our focus now to the war in Ukraine. As intense attacks continue, Ukraine is rejecting Russia's demand to surrender Mariupol. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the details.
The Kremlin had said that if that was done, it would open humanitarian lanes. Ukraine said no, and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says the Russians may not be able to take Mariupol.
They haven't taken it yet, and we've seen in the past that Ukrainians have counterattacked, that they've used their initiative to move things around on the battlefield, and they presented some significant problems for the Russians.
Meanwhile, more U.S. weaponry is expected to arrive in the next few days. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ed. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky is asking for more help. He addressed Israel's parliament, calling out hesitancy to provide military aid and join in international sanctions against Moscow.
Could you explain why we are still appealing to the world and many countries appealing to you for help? Is it indifference, calculation, or mediation without choosing side? I leave it to you to choose the answer to this question. I only note one thing, that indifference kills.
Ukrainian President Zelensky has renewed his effort to negotiate with Russia's Vladimir Putin. In aid to Zelensky says Moscow is starting to use more destructive artillery in its attacks.
Well, President Biden heads to Brussels for NATO summit this week, John. But before that trip, he'll speak with European and UK leaders this morning. Amy Morris has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
President Biden's talk with the leaders of France, Germany, Italy, and the UK is set for 11 this morning, Wall Street time. While in Europe, the president is also expected to visit Warsaw, where he'll meet with Poland's president, Andrzej Duda. Sources tell Bloomberg that later today, senior U.S. officials, including Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, will meet with executives in the energy, refining, financial services, and manufacturing sectors. Leaders from ExxonMobil, JPMorgan Chase, and other firms are expected expected to attend the off-the-record discussion about the global push to sanction Russia, upending supply chains and exacerbating inflationary pressures. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Amy. Russia has begun using hypersonic missiles against Ukraine. It's a shift in strategy that may signal a new phase of the war. Analysts expect more air power to be used as the Russian ground campaign stalls. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg is also worried about chemical weapons.
We know that Russia has used chemical agents in Europe before against their own political opponents, and Russia has been facilitating, supporting the Assad regime in Syria, where chemical weapons has been used. So this is something we take extremely serious.
NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg made the comments on NBC's Meet the Press, heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, no end to the war in sight. John, oil is surging for a third day. Attacks by Iranian-backed rebels on energy facilities in Saudi Arabia are also adding to the upward pressure. Crude has rallied almost 14% since Wednesday. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude is up 3.6% or $3.76 at $108.46 a barrel. Brent is higher by 3.5% at $111.65.
And as crude climbs, inflation remains front and center. Today, Jay Powell gets another chance to weigh in on the matter. The Fed chair makes remarks and answers questions at an economics conference in Washington. Critics like former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers says the central bank needs to hike rates more aggressively.
We've got to raise interest rates by more than 4 percentage points. We've got to raise them by 4% to stay neutral. We probably have to raise them more than that. So I think ultimately we're going to need a 4 or 5% interest rates, levels they're not even thinking of as conceivable.
Former Treasury Secretary and Bloomberg contributor Larry Summers was a guest on Bloomberg's Wall Street Week, heard weekends on Bloomberg Radio and Television. And stay tuned for those remarks from Jay Powell. We'll bring those to you live coming up just before 1 p.m. Eastern.
On the corporate front this morning, some Merger Monday news. Berkshire Hathaway has agreed to buy insurance company Allegheny for $11.6 billion. That works out to a 25% premium to Allegheny's last closing price. And private equity firm Thoma Bravo has agreed to buy San Francisco-based software company Anaplan in a deal valued at $10.7 billion. Shares of Anaplan are up almost 27% in early trading. This is Bloomberg.
At 6:07 on Wall Street, let's bring in Michael Barnow to find out what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. The Senate Judiciary Committee is set to begin its historic confirmation hearings today for Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. The 51-year-old federal judge would be the first black woman on the Supreme Court. Jackson is expected to present an opening statement, then answer questions from the committee's 11 Democrats and 11 Republicans over the next 2 days. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says he is keeping an open mind.
I'm going to listen to the hearings, and by the way, she'll be treated much better than Democrats have typically treated Republican nominees like Clarence Thomas and Brett Kavanaugh.
Senator McConnell spoke on CBS's Face the Nation, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas remains hospitalized with flu-like symptoms. According to the Supreme Court, Thomas is being treated with antibiotics for an infection and is resting comfortably. The new subvariant of the coronavirus has the attention of the nation's top infectious disease doctor. Dr. Anthony Fauci says the new coronavirus BA2 subvariant is about 50 to 60% more transmissible than Omicron.
It does have an increased transmission capability. However, when you look at the cases, they do not appear to be any more severe.
Dr. Fauci says that's the good news, but he warns BA2 could lead to an increase in COVID cases in the weeks ahead. Overall, sickness and hospitalizations have dropped to pre-pandemic levels. Fauci spoke on ABC's This Week, which can be heard Sundays right here on Bloomberg. Fans, welcome back the Cinderella team of the men's NCAA tournament. Jersey City's St. Peter's University got a hero's welcome when they returned Sunday.
Everyone as a Peacock Nation is like, this is crazy because we're such a small school.
Over the weekend, the 15th seed advanced to the Sweet 16, Peacocks guard Daryl Banks.
This feels amazing, you know, just growing up, wanting to play basketball, this is kind of the moments that you live for, that you dream of.
Guard Daryl Banks and his St. Peter's teammates now take on Purdue this Friday. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. And it's coming up on 6:10 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. NCAA tournament field is down to the Sweet 16 and includes Duke. Mike Krzyzewski's coaching career not over yet. Blue Devils pulled away late to beat Michigan State.
You don't go to those Sweet 16s just with talent. You do it with character. And that's what my teams have had. But it's not like I've given them that. You know, we've recruited that, and we've made use of it.
Coach K and Duke now headed out to San Francisco to play Texas Tech, who just got by Notre Dame. A two-seed went down. Auburn lost to Miami, and a one-seed nearly went down, but Arizona survived in overtime over TCU. 11-seeded Iowa State is moving on. The Cyclones went 2-22 just last year. Also advancing Villanova, Houston, and Purdue. And Purdue is next for Cinderella St. Peter's. That game is Friday night in Philadelphia. At the Garden, the Knicks had recent wins over Portland and Washington. Utah, much better team. The Jazz won 108-93 as Donovan Mitchell scored 36 points. R.J. Barrett had 24 for the Knicks. What a weekend for the Rangers. Road wins first at Tampa Bay, the two-time defending Stanley Cup champs. And last night at first place Carolina, it was 2-0 with backup goalie Alex Gorgiev making 44 saves, goals by Chris Kreider, his 41st, and the recent acquisition Frank Vetrano. The Hurricanes hadn't lost a home game in regulation in over 2 months. Islanders lost in Philadelphia 2-1. The Red Sox signed free agent shortstop Trevor Story. They plan to use him at second base. He put up big numbers with Colorado, where the numbers tend to inflate, but he's had 37 and 35 home run seasons. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, John, thanks a lot. Right ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, we have futures right now in the red. The Dow futures, 113 points lower. That's down 0.3%. S&P E-mini futures, 6 points lower. That's down 0.1% this morning. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures, 44 points lower. 0.3% lower after last week's gains in the markets. And as we look at treasuries right now, the benchmark 10-year yield at 2.18%. That is a 3 basis points. The 2-year yield up 4 basis points at 1.98%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your tri-state area Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Nathan Hager, futures and European stocks are wavering. Crude oil is extending its climb as investors monitor diplomatic efforts to try to bring an end to Russia's nearly month-old war in Ukraine. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 8 points, Dow futures down 127, NASDAQ futures are lower by 50 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 8/32, the yield 2.17%, yield on the 2-year 1.97%. NYMEX crude is up 3.8% or $3.95 at $108.65 a barrel. COMEX gold little change down 10 cents, $19.33.80 an ounce. The euro 1.1054 against the dollar. The pound at 1.3146. The yen 119.21. A quick check of Bitcoin. It's a touch higher at $41,400. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Nathan, thank you very much. Chinese media reports a Boeing 737 NG carrying 132 people has crashed in southwestern China. Radar tracking from Flight Radar 24 shows that China Eastern Airlines flight took a steep descent as it was headed toward the province of Guangzhou. Chinese state TV says a rescue team has assembled and is approaching the site. Ukrainian officials have defiantly rejected a Russian demand that their forces in Mariupol lay down arms and raise white flags in exchange for safe passage. The Senate Judiciary Committee is set to begin its historic confirmation hearings for Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. The 51-year-old federal judge would be the first black woman on the Supreme Court. In college basketball, the men's NCAA Sweet 16 is set. Duke, Kansas, and Villanova advanced yesterday. In the NBA, the Knicks and Warriors lost. The Celtics won. In the NHL, the Rangers won. The Islanders and Capitals lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 6:20 on Wall Street, we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. As we've been telling you, we have reports of a commercial passenger jet crash in China. Late breaking, still developing story. Let's find out what we know right now from Bloomberg's Will Davies in Hong Kong, who's following the very latest. What details can you impart to us right now, Will?
Hi there, John. We still haven't, it's obviously developing still situation. It's unclear what caused the crash. The plane went down in a sort of wooded mountainous area. There is some footage emerging on social media in China showing the hillside in flames. The plane was carrying 132 people. That's 123 passengers and 9 crew. It was heading towards Guangzhou in the south, a big manufacturing city, one of China's biggest cities, and it was flying from Kunming, which is the capital of Yunnan province, in the southwest of the country. China Eastern was the airline. That's one of China's biggest carriers, but based out of Shanghai. It's a major state-run carrier. So we haven't heard from them. They haven't made an announcement officially. I mean, they've acknowledged the crash has taken place, but obviously they haven't come up with a reason yet. They're sending a team down, and President Xi Jinping just issuing some comments now, urging an investigation to find out what caused this crash.
What do we know about the Boeing model that's involved? How does that differ from the MAX?
It was the preceding model to the MAX, so it's a 737-800 next gen. It's got a good safety reputation. The MAX isn't allowed to commercially, hasn't been fully authorized to return to commercial service in China, so this is the model before that, and it has one of a good safety record. I think Boeing said that in 2018, around that time, there were only 8 fatal accidents involving that model out of more than 7,000 of those aircraft sold. But that's obviously a massive tragedy. It looks that way for sure. And it's bad news for Boeing as well, as their share price looks to be dropping pretty fast in pre-market as well.
Yeah, and Boeing has not had a very smooth ride in China in terms of the aviation regulators there, has it?
Yeah, I mean, there was progress made towards the ungrounding of the MAX. Most other markets around the world have returned the MAX to the sky, but China, which was the first to ground it in March 2019 after the crash in Ethiopia, it still remains grounded commercially anyway. There have been some test flights, and it was looking like that it could be, I mean, they've given the initial approval for it to return, but it hasn't entered back into commercial service yet. So, and there's various complications that have added to delays. You know, there's trade disputes between the U.S. and China. So the relationship between the two countries hasn't been particularly smooth for several years. And China is a huge market for Boeing. So they've had a tough time trying to get the MAX back in the air. And it was just looking, you know, it could have been a matter of weeks that it was going to return to commercial service. But I'm not sure how this will impact that.
What's the safety record of the airline involved, do we know?
Yeah, I mean, China's got, well, certainly in recent decades, a good safety record. It's very proud of its record in flying. China Eastern, like I said, one of the main state-run carriers. It hasn't had a crash since 2004, a fatal crash anyway. And the last fatal crash in China was 12 years ago in 2010. So it's had a good record of the aviation safety in China.
Bloomberg's Will Davies joining us from Hong Kong this morning. Will, thanks for the update. Appreciate it. Again, a Boeing 737-800NG next generation plane operated by China Eastern Airlines crashed in a southwestern Chinese province today. 132 people on board, 123 passengers, and 9 crew members. It is 6:24 on Bloomberg. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We shift our attention now to the war in Ukraine. The fighting and evacuations have led to a humanitarian crisis. The flood of refugees continues into Europe, and Bloomberg's Aggie Cantrell joins us this morning reporting from the UN World Food Program depot in Poland. And correct me if I'm wrong, Aggie, but it's one gigantic warehouse there. What's the situation on the ground?
Yeah, so it's a really massive warehouse here that's currently being used by both the UNHCR and the World Food Program. in order to ship out supplies to Ukraine. I've been speaking to people here saying that the UNHCR is providing everything from bedding to solar lamps for people on the ground, because it's really important to remember that in lots of parts of Ukraine right now, there is a complete lack of critical infrastructure. In cities like Mariupol, which we've heard has been under bombardment since March 2nd, we've been seeing many people without food, without water. And so this is a dire humanitarian crisis as well as war.
Hey, can the aggressor, in this case Russia, distinguish between shipments of critical supplies, humanitarian aid, and arms supplies?
Things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers charges margin loan rates from 0.75 to 1.58%, rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare. We'll begin with the breaking news out of Asia. As we just heard from Bloomberg's Will Davies, there are reports of a commercial plane crash in China. Bloomberg's Michael Barr joins us live with the very latest. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Chinese media reports a Boeing 737 NG carrying 132 people has crashed in southwestern China. Radar tracking from Flight Radar 24 shows that China Eastern Airlines flight took a steep descent as it was headed toward the province of Guangzhou. The New York Times says local officials saw flames and smoke rising from a hillside in the area. Chinese state television says a rescue team has assembled and is approaching the site. Live in New York, I'm Michael Barr, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Michael, thank you. We now turn to the latest developments on the war in Europe. Ukraine rejecting a Russian demand that its forces lay down their arms and leave Mariupol. More talks expected later today. Yesterday, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky addressed Israel's parliament, calling out hesitancy to provide military aid and join international sanctions.
Could you explain why we are still appealing to the world and many countries appealing to you for help? Is it indifference, calculation, or mediation without choosing side? I leave it to you to choose the answer to this question. I only note one thing, that indifference kills.
Ukrainian President Zelensky renewing his offer to negotiate with Vladimir Putin. An aide to Zelensky says Moscow has started using more destructive artillery in its attacks.
Well, that artillery includes hypersonic missiles, John, and analysts say that marks a shift in strategy, with Russia using more air power as its ground campaign stalls. Lloyd Austin is the U.S. Defense Secretary.
I would not see it as a game changer. I think, again, the reason that he's resorting to using these types of weapons is because he's trying to reestablish some momentum.
Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin made the comments on Face the Nation from CBS, heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
And coming up today, President Biden speaks with European leaders ahead of his trip to the continent this week. Senior U.S. officials also meet with executives from ExxonMobil, J.P. Morgan, and other firms to discuss the impact of sanctions.
And traders are also looking out for a speech today from Fed Chair Jay Powell. He will make remarks and answer questions at an economics conference in Washington. We'll bring that to you live around 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. S&P futures are now down 10 points. Dow futures down 140. NASDAQ futures lower by 57 points. 10-year Treasury is down 8/32. The yield 2.17%. Yield on the 2-year note 1.97%. NYMEX crude is up 3.9%, up $4.12 at $108.82 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2%, down $3.30 at $19.36 an ounce. And the euro is at 1.1050 against the dollar. Straight ahead, local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Nathan, thanks. 6:33 on Wall Street. And time to bring in Michael Barr to tell us what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. The confirmation hearings for President Biden's first Supreme Court nominee are scheduled to get underway today. Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson is the first black woman to be nominated to the Supreme Court. Republican Senator John Barrasso.
We're going to have a fair process and a respectful process, unlike what the Democrats did to Justice Kavanaugh.
Republican Senator Josh Hawley last week tried to discredit Jackson in a barrage of tweets, saying she was soft on crime. Democratic Senator Dick Durbin says that Hawley's claims have been fact-checked and discredited, saying Hawley's base is far from centrist.
He's part of a fringe within the Republican Party. This was the man who was fist-bumping the murderous mob that descended on the Capitol.
Senators Durbin and Barrasso spoke on ABC's This Week, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg. We're learning that Justice Clarence Thomas was hospitalized with flu-like symptoms and treated with antibiotics for an infection. The Supreme Court said the 73-year-old justice's symptoms have eased and he is resting comfortably. Even with COVID cases down, U.S. health officials said they're expecting more cases with the new BA2 variant, though a large surge is unlikely. Dr. Anthony Fauci says while the BA2 symptoms are not typically severe, it is even more contagious than its Omicron predecessor.
It's about 50 to 60% or so more transmissible, which means ultimately over time, it might take over as the dominant variant.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, there have been more than 79 million cases of COVID in the U.S. alone and more than 971,000 deaths. The U.S. Marine Corps has identified the four Marines who died when their Osprey aircraft crashed Friday night in a Norwegian town in the Arctic Circle during a NATO exercise. All four were out of Marine Corps Air Station New River, North Carolina. The cause of the crash remains under investigation. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:35 of Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. The NCAA Tournament Sweet 16 includes 3-1 seeds, 2-2s, 2-3s, and 3-4s. But it wasn't easy for many of the favorites, certainly not for top seed Arizona, who needed overtime to get by TCU, or for Duke, who beat Michigan State 85-76. It was closer than that. Blue Devils pulled away late in the win. Means Mike Krzyzewski's coaching career not over yet. Duke now plays Texas Tech. Purdue beat Texas. Purdue is up next for St. Peter's. The Cinderella Peacocks going to have plenty of fan support. Friday's game is just down the road from Jersey City in Philadelphia. Wins last night for Miami and Iowa State, so they'll play each other on Friday. That means a double-digit seed is guaranteed of being in the Elite Eight. The Knicks' slim playoff hopes took a hit, beaten by Utah at the Garden, 108-93. Donovan Mitchell scored 36 points. R.J. Barrett had 24. Second-place Rangers visited first-place Carolina. The game was scoreless, second period.
Rangers trying to center, but it kicks back out behind the net. Lafreniere to the far corner, climbs the blue line, gets it back out to the point with a shot, deflection, and it's scored. And guess who in front of the net? It's Chris Kreider, his 41st goal of the year, and the Rangers get the 1-0 lead on just their 8th shot of the game.
WEPN had to call Frank Vetrano, who the Rangers just picked up last week at an empty net. The Rangers won 2-0, their 40th win, 44 saves in the shutout for Alex Gorgiev. Islanders lost in Philadelphia 2-1 in Tampa. Yankees got a grand slam from Oswaldo Cabrera, but the Tigers with 4 in the ninth won 8-7. Luis Severino gave up 4, and so did David Peterson. The Mets lost to the Cardinals in Port St. Lucie. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, thanks a lot, John. And it is now 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks, some of the names that are moving in the pre-market. And with that, we're joined by Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. Of course, the news out of China certainly affecting one of the stocks in the pre-market this morning.
It absolutely is. You have Boeing shares that are taking quite a tumble this morning. BA is your ticker, down 8.2% in the pre-market. This, of course, to your point, comes after a China Eastern Airlines Boeing 737 plane was carrying 132 people. It crashed in China's southwestern province of Guangxi. Important to keep in mind here for Boeing investors, bears and bulls, is that this is not a 737 MAX. So this does not go to the issues that they have had previously.
This
nevertheless,
is the next gen, NG.
I believe so.
Yeah. Which is the predecessor, preceded the MAX.
Right, exactly. So BA, once again, down 8%, but it's also affecting the Chinese Eastern Airlines ADRs. Those are down some 16%. The ticker there is just CEA. And then you have the airlines also dropping in tandem. No surprise there. When Boeing drops, the airlines tend to follow. United, UAL is your ticker, down 4.4%. Southwest as well. LUV is your ticker there, down 4%. Of course, American AAL down 2.9%. Out of really, we're seeing in the top six stocks, 2 through 6 are all airline related. Wow. So you can really see that this is a pretty big weight when it comes to what's dropping in the pre-market.
Warren Buffett was in the news this morning. They're making, I guess it's an insurance acquisition?
It looks like it. Allegheny, I believe is how you pronounce
Allegheny.
It. Allegheny. I'm
Come
so
on,
sorry.
I thought you were from Pennsylvania.
I tried. I'm from Texas, man. We don't have that. For $11.6 billion in cash, the ticker is just Y, up 6% in pre-market.
It's actually, even though it's Allegheny, you know, which would lead you to believe Pennsylvania, Allegheny Mountains, it's a New York-based company.
Oh, this is a lot of northeastern seaboard knowledge I do not have, but thank God for John Tucker for that insight. We should get to some of the other deal news this morning. It's also dropping stocks. And Nielsen Holdings, NLSN is your ticker, down 16% after rejecting an acquisition proposal from a PE company. It valued the company at $25.40 a share, a price that Nielsen says doesn't adequately compensate shareholders for Nielsen's growth prospects. Nevertheless, investors seem to, in the pre-market, think they should have taken the deal. Once again, NLSN, down 16%. I'm going to throw one more at you here. Anaplan, PLAN is your ticker, soaring 27% after Thoma Bravo agreed to acquire it in a deal valued at $10.7 billion. Just another deal to keep your eye on.
Deal news, Merger Monday, I guess Merger we'll Monday. Call it, right? Okay. Kriti, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Bloomberg TV markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. And as we look at the markets right now, ahead of the cash open on Wall Street after last week's surge, this morning, futures indicate a lower open on Wall Street. We have Dow futures right now 149 points lower. That's down 0.4%. The S&P E-mini futures, they're down 12 points. That's down 0.3%. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures, 61 points lower. And we're being brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund, JCF's donor-advised fund, the smart choice to manage your philanthropy, especially in times of crisis. Make your giving impactful. Visit jcfny.org. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And the Bloomberg weather for today from Gary Best. Sunny skies, the high temperature topping out about 60. Could see some showers after midnight, and tomorrow partly sunny, the high again near 60 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are on the decline this morning. Let's go right over to the First Word Breaking News desk for today's morning call with Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Nathan. That's right. U.S. futures are in the red right now. Dow futures down 135 points. S&P's dropped 9. Well, the Nasdaq futures are off by 50. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.18%. Gold is up 3. Oil is climbing, but Bitcoin is little changed. European markets are quiet this morning, and back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, Chicago Fed. In deal news, Berkshire Hathaway to buy Allegheny Corp for $11.6 billion. And in other news, Boeing is down 8% pre-market after a 737 jet crashed in China. Spirit Aerosystems is also down 8% pre-market. Wrapping things up, Fortune Brands was cut to hold a Jefferies Air Products race to overweight at J.P. Morgan, and BlackBerry is raised to sector perform over at RBC. Live from the First to Breaking News desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Nathan.
Okay, Bill, thanks. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg type squawk on the terminal SQUA Go. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Nathan, thank you very much. Chinese media reports Boeing 737 NG carrying 132 people has crashed in southwestern China. Radar tracking from Flight Radar 24 shows the China Eastern Airlines flight took a steep descent as it was headed toward the province of Guangzhou. The New York Times says local officials saw flames and smoke rising from a hillside in the area. Joe Biden will speak with European leaders ahead of the president's trip to the continent this week. Meanwhile, shelling continued overnight with a large shopping center on the outskirts of Kyiv, killing at least 6 people. Ukraine has rejected a Russian demand for its forces to lay down their arms and leave Mariupol. in college basketball. The men's NCAA Sweet 16 is set. Duke, Kansas, and Villanova advanced yesterday. In the NBA, the Knicks and Warriors lost. The Celtics won. In the NHL, the Rangers won. The Islanders and Capitals lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
New York City's economy still hasn't caught up. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. The big job market story of the past year in the U.S. has been one of high demand for workers and a less cheap and abundant supply of labor than employers had gotten used to. Not in New York City, where unemployment is almost twice the national rate, and there are still 6% fewer jobs than before the pandemic. How does this square with reports of skyrocketing rents and tech workers flocking to the city? Well, New York City real estate is weird, and tech workers are flocking to the city. There just aren't nearly enough of them to make a dent in the overall numbers. Most New Yorkers work in less glamorous, lower-paid jobs, and there are still fewer of those in the city than there were before the pandemic. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. Let's turn to news in science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings and number one in the nation for student upward economic mobility. More at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. In Hong Kong, the government has scrapped some coronavirus travel curbs and laid out a roadmap to ease social distancing measures. A ban on flights from 9 countries, including the U.S. and U.K., will be lifted. Plus, the amount of time travelers spend in mandatory hotel quarantine will be cut in half. In the U.K., Prime Minister Boris Johnson is turning to the nuclear and wind sectors to try to boost his country's energy security. Johnson is meeting with leaders from the nuclear industry today and wind company CEOs in the coming days. The war in Ukraine has caused oil and gas prices to soar. And Kuwait is among the hottest places on Earth. In fact, the Middle Eastern country reached a scorching temperature of 127.7 degrees Fahrenheit. The extremes of climate change present existential perils all over the world, but the record heat waves that roast Kuwait each season have grown so severe that people increasingly find it unbearable. By the end of this century, scientists say being outside in Kuwait City could be life-threatening, not only to birds. A recent study also linked 67% of heat-related deaths in Kuwait's capital to climate change. That's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. John.
All right, thanks, Nathan. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 6:52 on Wall Street. And that's time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden speaking with European leaders ahead of his trip to the continent this week. The White House also meeting with Exxon and other firms on the Russia sanctions and Supreme Court confirmation hearings. They begin today. Also, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas hospitalized with an infection. Let's take a deeper dive this morning with Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. Emily, thanks for being with us this morning. Happy Monday. I guess it's safe to say the diplomatic efforts on the continent are increasing this week, especially with the President Biden's visit. Emily, are you there?
Yes, President Biden, he is going to be attending NATO as well as meeting with other European Commission leaders. And this is going to be coming as the European Union is going to try to reinforce the U.S. warning to China that Beijing is going to face serious consequences if they try to give Moscow any military assistance or if they wind up trying to ease some of the sanctions that the U.S. has put in place on Russia.
And the White House also meeting with Exxon and some other firms on the sanctions. What's going to develop in that meeting?
So obviously right now, high gas prices are a concern for a lot of Americans, as well as the Biden administration. They know that they're usually tied with how Americans feel about the economy, whether you think that's fair or not. So President Biden is going to be speaking with a number of these companies, including Exxon, Marathon Petroleum, as well as JP Morgan and Bank of America, just about what we're seeing going on with that war in Ukraine and what the U.S. is expecting moving forward. The Biden administration has tried to encourage some of these gas companies to step up their production and increase in prices. Although at the same point, you've heard Republicans and other companies kind of push back on the Biden administration and say, hey, if you want us to increase production, you need to roll back some of your regulations that you've put on us as part of President Biden's green energy policies.
You can imagine that Vladimir Putin was hoping that some of the world resolve would start to crack at this point. Is there any sign of that happening?
As far as what Putin is thinking, I think that's still a little unclear to everyone. At this point, I think the big thing that we're looking at is whether that diplomacy between Ukraine and Russia is making any sort of progress. It really doesn't seem like it is. I mean, the headlines out today is that Putin went to Mariupol and said that they needed to, you know, ask them to surrender. But the individuals there said no. Lots of questions about what is going to be happening, what if any kind of agreement they could come to in regards to what Ukraine's future is with NATO, whether they could become sort of a neutral ally like Switzerland or Australia. Talks are ongoing there. And there's no clue, I think, this morning whether or not we're going to get some agreement in the near future.
Let's switch to the Hill. The Supreme Court confirmation hearing set to begin today for Ketanji Brown Jackson's nomination. Are we going to see fireworks? What is expected?
Well, today is going to be pretty tame because today is just going to be opening statements day. We'll hear from the lawmakers on the judiciary panel, those 22 senators. We'll as well hear from several individuals who will introduce Judge Jackson, and then we will hear from Jackson herself. After that, tomorrow, we're going to start moving into the Q&A. That's going to be a three-day hearing, so certainly a lot that's going to go on there. We've already seen Republicans kind of preview some of the attacks that they plan to make. They actually plan to sort of move beyond just Jackson's hearing into their wider messaging for the midterm, such as that they're raising concerns that the Biden administration is soft on crime. So expect that to play out a little bit within the hearings. But remember, Jackson was nominated by this same group of senators just last year for a spot on the D.C. Appeals Court. So many of these lawmakers, they're familiar with her. You know, a number of them recently voted for her. And at this point, it does seem like she's going to be able to cinch that nomination with Democratic support.
Emily, thanks very much. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or the Bloomberg Terminal. And you can follow the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks. It's 6:56 on Wall Street. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. March is Women's History Month, and every day this month we're celebrating significant moments in women's history. And now with your installment for March 21st, here's Bloomberg's Renita Young.
On this day in women's history in 1969, women from the feminist group Red Stockings organized a public hearing entitled Abortion Speak Out. It was held at the Washington Square Methodist Church in New York City's Greenwich Village. At the time, the radical feminist group was furious that hearings about abortion featured only male speakers. The debate at the time focused on rape, incest, or health of the mother. The group wanted to provide women with a platform to speak out, share their experiences with illegal abortions, and shift the debate to what they believed, a woman's right to choose. That's Today in Women's History. I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Renita, thank you. S&P futures this morning down 7 points. Dow futures down 120, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 50 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 8/32. The yield, 2.17%. Continuing to watch oil surge this morning. NYMEX crude up 4.5% to $109.38 a barrel. Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead. For John Tucker, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.